First, briefly, as I mentioned in my column in the bulletin, the results that you provided for our parish strategic plan have been compiled. And so we invite you next Sunday, immediately following this Mass at 11, please join us in St. Angela Hall. And there, the parish pastoral council will present the findings and give you the opportunity to hear them and to comment. It's really interesting, all that came up with. It's very positive, and I was very excited to see the participation. And remember, the strategic plan is important because it will help direct our parish's future. So this really is the beginning of something beautiful. So please do come to St. Angela Hall, October 23rd, immediately following this Mass next week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We just heard from in our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the young bishop, St. Timothy. St. Paul is writing from prison to encourage Timothy shortly before his own execution, which places his writing a little after the year 60 AD. Now, St. Paul is giving Timothy two secrets, if you will, two pieces of advice for holding on to his faith. Now, all of us here this morning value our faith. It's the reason that you showed up for Mass, right? It's the reason that at home you tuned in. Now, we know, though, at times, because we're human, we can be weak, we can be short-sighted, and even selfish, if we're honest. God has given us this faith as a gift, the source of the strength and the light that we need in order to weather life's storms and to find genuine happiness, genuine fulfillment. None of us wants to lose our faith, and we don't want our loved ones to lose it either. And so, it would be good for us to apply to our own lives this spiritual advice that St. Paul gives to Timothy. Now, the first piece of advice, immersion. To immerse yourselves in the sacred scriptures. St. Paul says that they can be used to give us wisdom for salvation. He writes this, listen, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, he doesn't just mean that it's useful for other people, right? He's also correction for us and for training for us, ourselves. Now, I want to spend a little time on this verse because it is frequently misinterpreted outside of many Catholic circles. Many non-Catholic Christians do not believe that Jesus established a visible church with the papacy, the popes, to guide the church and to preserve our Christian truths through the ages. Instead, many non-Catholic Christians believe that every Christian has been left on his or her own with only the Bible to guide them. This is often called Bible alone or sola scriptura, scripture alone. It's a belief that only the Bible as interpreted by each person under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And one verse that is used to try and prove this is that verse we just heard, that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, etc. And that's actually true. So you might hear, well, there you have it then, right? All we need is the Bible, nothing else. We don't need no pope, no bishop, I just need me and this book. But that conclusion is not logical, friends. And guess what? It's not even biblical. The Bible says quite the opposite. Now, the word in question can be translated as useful, so we have it here, can be translated as beneficial or helpful, but this Greek word cannot be translated as all sufficient, sufficient in itself. In fact, when St. Paul was writing the letter, this very letter he was writing was not part of the Bible. At this time in history, when he is writing it, he's writing letters to his community. And the Gospels were just beginning to be written down. So when St. Paul here is saying the Scriptures, he is here referring to the Old Testament. The Bible as we know it, that New Testament, was put together by the early church under the authority of the apostles and their successors. And it was always meant to be read and interpreted within the same church, not off alone individually. And not to mention that to our Catholic Church's one faith, Scripture alone congregations today have split over and over and over, and now 500 years later, they number over 40,000 denominations and non-denominations, all disagreeing with each other, but saying that all you need is the Bible, but all claiming to be inspired by the same Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus did not set it up this way. He did not set up division. In fact, the word for division in Greek is diabolo. It's also translated as devil. It literally means to throw apart, to divide. But Jesus wants us to have unity. And which leads us then to the second piece of advice for keeping our faith: staying in sync with the church that Jesus founded and not going off to be our own pope. This happens to anybody, right? Paul began this passage by exhorting St. Timothy. He said this: remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you have learned it. In other words, Timothy had received the Christian faith from Paul, an apostle, and Paul had received his faith from Christ. Now, in this living way, our faith was handed on under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This handing on has been called from our very first days of the Church, of Christianity, sacred tradition. Now, sacred tradition does not mean that changeable, empty, man-made rituals that pass on from generation to generation. We're talking about tradition with a capital T. It means the living faith of the Church that has been handed on from Christ himself to his first apostles, and from them to their successors, on down through the popes and the bishops, on until our own time, to our own bishop, Jacques Fabre. Now think about this. Bishop Jacques had hands laid on him, and that continuation of ordination all the way back to the apostles and then to Christ. Now, Paul instructs Timothy to be faithful to this tradition that he received, and to faithfully then pass that on. Not what he thought it should be, but to faithfully pass it on as it is. A couple of other passages that can help us. This is not alone. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul says, listen, I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions, even as I have delivered them to you. He says later on in the same letter, I hand on to you what I myself have received. And then he goes on to talk about the Eucharist. And then in 2 Thessalonians, he says, so then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught by us either by word of mouth or by letter. Either by word of mouth or by letter. And so that tradition is the word of mouth and the letter together. So these then, and there's more, but these then are St. Paul's two pieces of advice to keeping one's faith. One, go deep, going deep into the inspired scriptures. And number two, clinging firmly to our authentic Catholic tradition that has been passed on to you through the ages. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. St. Paul again. Now there's one pitfall, friends, especially for us as Catholics. We are tempted to let the theologians and the clergy worry about the Bible while we just come to Mass on Sunday and try to avoid doing really bad things, right? It's just so much easier. You guys deal with all that. I'm just going to try to be, you know, not get in trouble. Well, no, that is not what God has in store for you. That's not a living faith. God wants for you so much more. He wants to give you wisdom and training and righteousness. He wants to equip us, all of us, for every good work, as he says. He wants to make you a powerful, culture-transforming Christian, a true soldier of Christ in this spiritual battle that we are engaged in. And it all happens on the level of where you are, in your home, the people you speak with every day. It happens on the level of everyday life. That is where transformation happens. And if we immerse ourselves in the scriptures, in his sacred word, along with that persistent prayer that he speaks of in the gospel, then we will help that happen. Jesus wants us to hang on to our divine faith and to grow, to become a fountain of wisdom that can refresh the thirsty souls all around us in our lives. Now, finally, one last thing. To do all that, we have to follow one final piece of advice that comes from the mouth of Jesus himself. Listen at what he says. I am the vine, you are the branches. Note there, none of us is the vine, only Jesus. We are his branches. And he continues, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, we have to stay connected to the vine, which means you and I are not out there as mere individuals flailing our arms in a pool of faith, trying to stay afloat, trying to figure out this whole faith thing. We're not little dinghies out there. We're part of a bigger body, the mystical body of Christ, the church. Jesus personally gave us his church to lead us and guide us, not to limit our freedom. We have full freedom to say yes or no, just as much as Adam and Eve. But he did this to save our souls, even to save our souls from ourselves and our selfish choices we sometimes might make without him, his sacraments, and his church to guide us. It means, in a word, that you and I have to die to self. To die to self. For the Catholic Christian, the self must die in order to find our true self, which is nothing less than Christ Jesus. You are what you eat, his body and blood, right? To be a Christian literally means another Christ. So, when we do finally die to self, we can say then with St. Paul, it is no longer I, not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand.